Well, today's our second week of this big new series. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them you're looking mighty large. Now, normally that'd be an insult. I see some people cringing out there. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that to you. I might get slapped. You're looking mighty large. Now, this series is big. This is a big deal. We believe faith in Jesus is a big deal. We believe it transforms our life. How many of you here today believe in God? Amen? Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. B-I-G. What is faith? Believing in God. How many of you believe in God today? Oh, come on. Are there any believers in the house today? Because all things are possible to them that believe. And so if you weren't here last week, let me catch you up to speed. We went over these keys about faith. Number one, faith is the key ingredient to pleasing God. Faith is the key to pleasing God. Number two, when we believe in God, big things happen. Faith empowers little people to do big things for God. Number three, mountains are big, but faith is bigger. Can you say amen? Number four, a little faith goes a long way. Jesus said, all you need is mustard seed faith. Number five, what you believe determines what you receive. Number six, your life will never rise above your faith. As a man thinks or believes in his heart, that's what you'll be. Number seven, faith takes hold of what grace made available. Can you give God praise today for what he's doing in and among us? Amen. So you see then, when you understand that you have a big God, then you have big faith. When you have a big God, then you have big faith. And when you have big faith, you begin living a big life. When you believe you serve a big God, it enlarges your faith. You have big faith. And when you have big faith, you begin to live a big life. Because the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, somebody look at your neighbor and tell him he's talking to you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Again, are there any believers in the house today? Now, the Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now, how many of you are ready to take your faith to a new level? How many of you are ready to enlarge your capacity for what God wants to do in us, among us, and through us? Let me hear you say amen. Come on, I'm going to give you everything I've got. I'm not going to preach like it's a snow day. I don't want you to listen like it's a snow day. I don't want you to respond like it's a snow day. We're not surviving today. Come on, we come to lift Jesus high, even in the way we listen. Are you ready to enlarge your capacity for faith today? All right, I believe you. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. Faith is believing in God. Faith is big. And when we believe in God, big things begin to happen in our life. Jesus has died on the cross. He is resurrected from the dead. And he is now appearing to his disciples. This is a passage that some of you may have heard. Maybe you've never heard the Bible in your life. But I'm telling you today, what we hear is going to increase our ability to believe God and to step into greater things in our life. Here's what it says. John chapter 20, verse 24. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe. Well, how many of you know there are people that just say, I won't believe, period. He said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I see and feel. Verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. He said, I want you to touch me and I want you to look at me. He said, put your hand in the wound into my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Look at your neighbor and tell him, don't be faithless any longer. And then he says this. He says, believe. See that exclamation point? Now, I'm not going to ask you to scream at your neighbor today because that'd be rude. Certainly much ruder than telling them how large they look. Verse 28, my Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Now all of a sudden he does, he believes. Verse 29, then Jesus told him, watch, you believe because you have seen me. He said, Thomas, you believe because you're looking at me. You believe because you could feel me. But watch what Jesus said, blessed. Somebody said blessed. Now I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I like being blessed. And the word in the Greek for blessed literally means happy. It means enviable. So if you want to be happy today, if you want to have a life that glows with the joy and the radiance of God so much that people look at you and they are envious of what you've got, then Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Today I want you to understand very simply, our big thought is this, that faith is bigger than my feelings. Faith is bigger than my feelings. Let me say it again. Faith is bigger than my feelings. And we're going to talk about how to grow your faith bigger than your feelings. Because Thomas said, if I can't see him, if I can't feel him, I'm not going to believe in him. But Jesus said, people are blessed when they can't see me and they can't feel me and they still believe in me. And I want to tell you, that's where most of us are. When you begin your walk with Christ, this is one of the biggest struggles we face. I know it was for me, and there are many people who never get past this point in their walk with Jesus, and it traps us into small-mindedness and seeing small results and praying small prayers and living small lives. When we limit God to what we can see or what we can feel, and here's what the devil loves to do with us. He loves to lie to us and tell us that God is only near to you when you can feel him. We look for a feeling. We try to reduce our faith to a feeling. He tries to convince us that God is only close to you when you can feel him. That God is only with you when you can feel him. That God is only happy with you when you can feel him. That God only loves you when you can feel him. And when you can't feel him, all of a sudden we begin to feel alone. We begin to feel isolated. We begin to feel abandoned. We begin to ask things like, God, where are you? And God, why have you left me? But the reality today is we don't build our walk with God on how we feel. That's a great way to ride the roller coaster, because feelings will change, but faith never does. And so this is one of the number one things. Somebody say number one. That means it's about to be important. This is the number one thing you can get down in your spirit, in your walk with Jesus Christ. You've got to make this transition from getting out of the realm of feeling and stepping into the realm of faith. You've got to break free from living by the limitations of how you feel. And so I want to give you some keys to do that. I'm going to show you today how to grow your faith bigger than your feelings. And revelation is what will do that for us. A bigger revelation of God leads to bigger faith in us. Bigger faith in us enlarges our capacity to do great things for his glory. Let's pray. Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you that we get to be together today. And most of all, that you are here. Father, we thank you for your word today, that it is alive and active. And Father, I pray that you would reach into our hearts, and this morning that you would do the work only you can do. I pray that strongholds come down. I pray for those of us that have been dominated by our emotions and lived by our feelings, and we're up one day and down the next. God, I pray that there would be a consistency and a stability that just overtakes our lives right now as we begin to follow these principles and we step into victory, not one day, but every day. Father, we thank you now. If there's anyone here that does not yet know your son as their Savior, I pray that your goodness be revealed and you would lead them down that path of repentance, that they would see your cross and know your love, and they would reach out and call on your name. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. We give you praise on credit. And all God's people said, would you give him praise for what he's about to do? Amen. The first thought is this. Number one. Faith gives me the ability to know a God I cannot see or feel. That's what this passage teaches us with Thomas. Faith gives me the ability to know a God I cannot see or feel. You've never seen God, and you certainly haven't felt him tangibly in his touch, or most of us haven't. Faith gives me the ability, though, to know a God that I cannot see or feel. Well, that's the opposite of what our world says. Our world says, if I can't see it, I won't believe it. But Jesus said the opposite. He said, you've got to believe it if you want to see it. What I believe determines what I see, not what I see determines what I believe. What I believe determines what I feel, not what I feel determines what I believe. Amen? Let me try that again. What I believe should determine what I feel, not what I feel determines what I believe. way I feel when I get up in the morning does not determine what I believe in the God I serve. It hasn't always been that way in my life. I had to grow up spiritually and grow stronger in the Lord until I got to that place. Because there were times I woke up in the morning and I didn't feel loved by God. I didn't feel accepted by God. I didn't feel forgiven by God. I didn't feel like God approved of me. I didn't feel like God wanted me. And in those times, I had a choice to make. I can either stand in faith on my feelings or I can stand in faith on the Word of God. Because this book doesn't change, but my feelings are going to. And what I learned over time was that I could walk in victory. Faith gives me the ability to know a God I cannot see or feel. When we talk about faith, what we're really talking about, church, is the ability to know God. Faith gives me the ability to know God, not to get stuff. Just nod at me. Faith gives me the ability to know God. Faith is what I know God with. We serve a faith God. We live in a faith covenant. He responds to faith. He's known by faith. Our bedrock text for this series has been Hebrews 11:6 that says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is pleasing to God. For he who comes to God must, and here's where it begins, believe that he is. Faith gives me the ability to engage God. Faith gives me the ability to have a relationship with God. And knowing God is my number one purpose in life. You were created to know God, number one. And until that becomes the chief aim and the chief goal of your life, then nothing else is going to work out for you. When you put your relationship with your spouse before your relationship with God, I'm going to tell you right now, your relationship with your spouse will suffer. When you put your relationship with your kids before your relationship with God, your relationship with your kids is going to suffer. When you put your relationship with friends before your relationship with God, then your relationship with them is going to suffer. When you put your relationship with whatever it might be in front of Jesus Christ, then those relationships and all relationships in your life are going to suffer. But when we put a walk with Jesus Christ first, then he blesses every other relationship in our life because we keep the order and the flow and the priority there. Knowing him is the number one purpose of my life. I'm not talking about knowing about him. I'm talking about knowing him personally. I don't just know about Marcia. I personally know her. And every day I get to know her more. And every day there's new things that I discover about her. And everything. No, she does not have an alpaca yet. So y'all quit asking me about that. Good night. Every time somebody asks, it's like you're prophesying. Just enough with the alpaca already. I'll let you know if it gets here. Somebody came up today and like, oh, is that an alpaca hair on you? I want to slap them. Don't get under condemnation if you're the one who said that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says this. Paul said, I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one in whom I trust. I know the one in whom I believe. He didn't say I know about him. He said, I know in him, and I'm sure that he is able. Somebody say he's able. To guard what I've entrusted to him to the day of his return. Look, y'all, we're trusting him with eternity. We're trusting him with our hearts. We're trusting him with our entire future for millenniums to come. You better know the person you're trusting when it comes to something that important in our lives. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. He said, my determined purpose is that I may know him. Faith gives me the ability to know God. And the more I know God, the more my faith begins to grow. The better I know God, the better I get at everything else in my life. How many of you can say life has gotten better since coming to Victory? Okay. Do you know why? It's because of the carpet color. It's because of the praise and worship. No, it's because you're getting to know the God you serve better and better because we're looking into his word. The better you get to know God, the better you get at every area and arena of your life. The more I know God, the more effective I become in every area of my life. It's that simple, literally. Faith gives me the ability to know a God that I cannot see or that I cannot feel. And the better I know him, the better I get at everything else. That's why you couldn't pay me to miss. You can't afford to not be in the Word. You can't afford to not spend time face to face with Jesus daily. Because the reality is, I don't trust people I don't know. And you shouldn't trust people you don't know. But faith is directly related to how well you know that person. The more I know them and the more I know about them, the more I can trust them. That's faith. Trusting in somebody is faith. And I trust them because I know them. When I know God, I trust him. When I know his character, I trust him. You know, here's what I love about Jesus. God the Father sent Jesus to show us who he was. He said to Philip, he said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus came to reveal who the Father was to each and every one of us. Did Jesus ever kill anybody? Did Jesus ever make anybody sick? Did Jesus ever put cancer on anybody to teach them a lesson? Did Jesus ever kill somebody's dog or the child or their spouse or whatever it might be? Did Jesus ever take anybody's job away? Did Jesus ever steal anybody's money? Did Jesus ever wreck a marriage? Okay, well, you hear people blaming God for every single thing I just named. Well, God did this and God did that. God must be, no. See, if you think you serve a God like that, you're not going to follow him very well. And life's not going to go very good for you. But the better I know him and the better I know his character and the better I see that he's here to help and that his nature is love and the pattern of his behavior, that he steps into situations and he brings the best not only out of people, but he brings the best out of bad situations. He, Romans 8:28, every time that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Genesis 50, Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good in my life. That's the kind of God we serve today. And when you know that about him, then you run to God and not from him. God doesn't become a part of your life. God becomes life. He becomes more important than the air you breathe. He becomes more important than your next heartbeat. And we see believers that treat God like this. And when we live by our feelings, we act like God is an addition to life and he is a part of our solar system that revolves around us along with everything else, instead of a believer that walks by faith says Jesus is the sun and he's in the center of the solar system and everything else in my life revolves around him. And he begins to become the unchanging factor in my life that grounds everything else that goes on. And so that's why so many times when God says jump and we don't, it's because we don't know who he is. If we don't do what he asks us to do, it's because we don't know him. Jeremiah 29:11, he says to you, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you future. Plans to give you a hope. If you knew who it is calling you to step out of the boat, Peter, and onto the water, you wouldn't be able to obey fast enough. The better we know God, the more effective we become. The less I know God, the less effective I become. So I must ask the question, Father, what is it about you that I'm missing? What is it about your character? What is it about your nature that's causing me to fail, that's causing underperformance in me? What revelation am I missing that's causing me to settle for less than your best in my relationships? Father, reveal yourself to me, and the bigger we see him, the bigger our faith becomes and the bigger life we live. And I want to live a big life very simply because Jesus paid a big price. And when I stand in front of him, I want to have something big to show for it. I don't want his grace toward me to be in vain. I want to offer him something up with my life that will be honoring to him and to his sacrifice. Life is God's gift to you, but what we do with it is our gift to him. I want to bring him a big gift in return. So the reality is we'll never reach any higher than our faith in the power and ability and willingness of God. You will live a life that reflects what you believe about the God you serve. How big is your God? How good is your God? How loving is your God? How compassionate and kind and generous and victorious is your God? That's what's reflected in our walk. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of what? They don't know me. So number one, faith gives me the ability to know a God that I cannot see or feel. Number two is this simple revelation that faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Y'all say it with me. Faith is not a feeling. Let's say it again. Faith is not a feeling. I want you to say it where everybody listening on the radio can hear. Faith is not a feeling. Look at your neighbor and tell them faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus has called us to follow him. That means there is a walk. Here's what I love about that description of your relationship with God. I can only walk one step at a time. That's all God expects of you, is he expects you to take one step at a time. But he expects you to keep taking steps to follow him. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, sight is one of my senses. I have five of them. I have my sight. I have my taste. I have my touch. I have my hearing. And I have my nose, my smelling. I definitely need that one. Five senses. Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. Am I right? I didn't leave anything out. Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. God gave us these senses to engage and to know and to perceive the world around us, the natural world. The spirit realm is just as real as the natural realm. Everything you can see right now will be destroyed. Everything you see right now is temporary, except for one thing, people. And the spirit of man living on the inside. So God has given me my taste, touch, sight, sound, smell, and I've got to know which one to use when. If I walk up to you and you put your hand out and I lick it, we got a problem. So you got to know what to use and when to perceive your world around you. But but that's not what the Bible says. He says we walk by what? By faith. See, faith is the sixth sense God has given me that is more real than the first five, that allows me to know and perceive and understand a God that is supernatural. A God that is beyond anything I can see, feel, taste, touch, lick, smell, whatever. Faith gives me the ability to engage God. Faith gives me the ability to walk with God. Walking by faith has nothing to do with what I feel. Stay with me today. Living for God has nothing to do with what you do or don't feel. Faith is not feeling in God. Faith is believing in God. What is faith? Believing in God. Faith is not feeling in God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is not feeling in God. Faith is believing in God. The majority of Christians want to reduce faith to feeling in God. They think John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that whoever feels in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's not what it says. It says whoever believes in him. They think Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that whoever feels in their heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and says with their mouth, he is Lord, shall be saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says whoever believes in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they shall be saved. Anytime I allow my feelings to dictate my relationship with God, I've set myself up for failure. And this is why this is important, because we live in a time and we live in an age of emotional volatility and emotional instability and emotional terrorization, if you will, that the enemy is tormenting people in their mind and in their emotions, and it's causing us to live lives beneath God's standard. It's causing us to walk in defeat, and all the while God says to us, faith is the victory in your life. Believing in God is bigger than your feelings, and if we'll step out of feeling and into faith and allow my faith to grow bigger than my feelings, then I won't be up one day, I won't be up 2 days, I'll be up every single day no matter how I feel. Because Jesus won the victory at Calvary, and that doesn't change tomorrow morning, and it doesn't change Tuesday morning, and it doesn't change Wednesday morning. I'm not doing life by myself. I'm not bouncing the old ball. I'm not living the new life with the old way of thinking. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything's become new. I thank God today that victory is mine, not one day, but every single day, whether I feel it or not. And so this is something that our generation has got to grasp. Number one, your feelings are not facts. Number two, your feelings are going to change. And number three, your feelings are always initiated by thoughts. Change what you think. Change what you feel. Change what you feel. Change the way you behave. Change the way you behave. Change your future. If you don't like your life, don't blame God. If you don't like what you see, begin believing in God. Step out of the realm of feeling and allow what God's word says to change the way you feel. And when it changes the way you feel, it's going to change the way you behave. And when you change the way you behave, all of a sudden, you begin to change your future. Change is possible. Let me tell you where hopelessness comes from. Hopelessness comes from believing that change can't happen. I come to tell every single one of you today that the Holy Spirit empowers us to change daily. And there is nothing in your life too big for God. There is nothing in your past beyond His grace. There is no brokenness in your life that He cannot heal and make absolutely whole. And that's good news because life is tough. Life can be devastating. We got news last night that one of our bus kids, fourth grade, gone. Devastating. Life can be hard. How do you think that's going to be for that mother to handle that? How do you think that's going to be for those brothers to handle that? And I know there are those of you here today that have been through things in your life, whether it was the loss of someone or whether it was abuse or whatever it might have been. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was a bankruptcy. You name what it was here today. And there's brokenness in your life. Maybe it was a parent that you suffered at their hands over and over and over. Maybe it was somebody who should have covered you and protected you, but instead they molested you or assaulted you sexually. I'm telling you, there are things in all of our lives that could define us if we allowed them. But the good news of the gospel is that my salvation is bigger than my feelings. And my future is bigger than my feelings. And my purpose is bigger than my feelings. And the blood of Jesus has the ability to set me free from every limitation in my past so that I can run with God like there's no chains on my legs anymore and there's no chains on my heart anymore. And I can begin to smile again, even if I haven't smiled in a long time. I can begin to rejoice again. I can begin to dance again. He exchanges beauty for ashes. He gives us laughing for our mourning. The Bible says weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I tell you, church, in Genesis 1, He created the darkness before the light. Why? Because your life has a trajectory and your best days are ahead of you, and you've got to believe that today. Never give up hope. If you're on the edge of giving up today, don't give up. We love you. God loves you. And there's a plan and a purpose for your life. The fact that you're here is all the proof you need that there is something in this world that we need from you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I need you. Come on, don't be bashful about it. Tell every person in this room, I need you, I need you, I need you. We take things for granted that some people never, ever, ever hear. I don't walk by feeling, I walk by faith. Is this okay today? I walk by faith, not by my feelings. We've got to get out of the realm of feeling. Y'all think I'm different. You think I'm just some different category. I said Wednesday night, you think me and Marcia never fuss before I get up here. Devil is a liar. That's why we drive to church separate. I'm very limited in what I say to her before church. Come here and give me a kiss. All right, see you after service. Just kidding. But here's what I want you to understand. There are times I feel closer to God than others. There are times in worship when tears stream down my face and I feel like I'm sitting on daddy's lap. And I love those times. I mean, I am a junkie for the presence of God. I'm an addict. But I've had times of prayer like that alone in fellowship when I feel like God's right next to me. But I'm going to be super transparent with you today and tell you that the majority of the time I'm worshiping and the majority of the time I'm praying and the majority of the time I'm alone with Him, I don't feel a thing. But I know that I don't need to, right? We've had services here that were powerful, that were anointed, that we saw miracles take place. We've seen people get out of wheelchair. Some of the most high-powered services I've ever been a part of here. I didn't feel a thing, but I had a word from God. And I followed that word, and I stood on that word, and I clung to that word, even when I personally couldn't feel Him. And the result was that other people were saved and blessed and refreshed and encouraged and healed and filled with His Spirit. And it's taught me to trust Him when I can't feel Him. Authority has nothing to do with how you feel. There's power in the name of Jesus, whether I feel it or not. Amen. There's power in the Word of God, whether I feel it or not. There's power in the blood of Jesus, whether I feel it or not. My faith can still move mountains, even when I don't feel like my prayers are. Your feelings will change, but your position in Christ doesn't. Your power in the Holy Spirit doesn't. God's plan for your life doesn't. His presence in your life won't. I will not be moved by what I see or feel like Thomas, but only by what I believe. And that's how I step into the blessing of God. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Victory is not a feeling. Grace is not a feeling. Security is not a feeling. Assurance is not a feeling. Mercy that's new every morning is not a feeling. Right standing with God is certainly not a feeling. Joy that's unspeakable is not a feeling. My worthiness in Him is not a feeling. My God loves me the same when I feel His love, and He loves me the same when I don't feel His love. He doesn't love me in and out. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me, period, the end. He loves me so much I can't handle it. He loves me more than I can stand it. His blessings are overtaking me. He doesn't come and go in my life. He doesn't bounce in and out like a bad dad. He is here permanently. The presence of God is not a feeling. The presence of God is a promise. Matthew 18, 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. Can I tell you today, Jesus is here right now. We don't have to pray, Lord, come be with me. We don't pray these pathetic prayers like I grew up praying in church. Oh, God, come down to us. You don't have to pray that. He said, if there's two of you there, I'm in the midst of you if you call on my name. He's here right now. Let's stop wasting our time asking for things that are already done. And let's start focusing on the fact He's in our presence. That's what will release the miraculous power of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body, somebody say my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who is in you, whom you have from God. You're not your own. The Bible says you are a container of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said after giving the great commission, go into all the world. And He said, I want you to preach all to all the nations. And tell them who I am and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the last thing He says is, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. He said in Hebrews 13:5, He Himself said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm so glad I serve a ride or die Savior today. He's with me today and He's with me tomorrow. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's there when I feel His presence and He's there when I don't. How do I know? Because I said it. He said it in His word, and I build my life on the word of God and not on how I feel that day. Would you give Him praise that He's living in you today? Let me wrap this thing up with my final point. Number three, big faith is built on the Bible. Number one was faith gives me the ability to know a God I cannot see or feel. Number two is faith is not a feeling. And number three is big faith is built on the Bible. We've got to begin building what we believe on the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 is critical and essential to your understanding of faith and what it does. It says, so then faith comes, which means I have the ability to gain more. Faith comes by what? One of our senses, hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by what you feel. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by a good book. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing and hearing by what Oprah says. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by what? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. The Bible is alive and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, it's able to separate what's God and what's you. Sometimes we feel like God tells us something and we think, well, is that God or is that me or is that the devil? The Bible has the ability to discern which one it is and show you. And so the more I read the Bible, the more I begin to fill myself with the capacity for faith, because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. The number one way you get to know who God is through His Word. The number one way you get to know through God, who God is through His Word. If you try to feel your way through your walk with Jesus Christ, you're going to be defeated constantly. You're going to be discouraged and you're going to give up. John chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 14 declares, in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Bible put on flesh, blood, and bone and came to this earth and lived among us. And His name is Jesus Christ. God gave you His Word so that you could get to know Him better. Everything I believe about God has to come from this book. Not what I see, not what I feel, not what I experience, not what great-grandma experienced. It has to come from this book. My life has to come from this book. Do not take me at my word. Go home and look up every single thing I said. Don't settle for my knowledge of God. It can't be yours. You can't hand down faith like that. God has no grandkids. They're all His children. You have to be born of God. It has to be your faith in God. Everything I know has to come from His Word. I cannot know God by my feelings, only through faith in His Word. Faith, simply put, is taking God at His Word. And so life comes from that book. People who know the Word are people who know God. Let me say that again. People who know the Word are people who know God. People who know the Word are people who know God. That's why the people at Victory Church have this testimony that they are getting to know the God in the pages of that book and going out of here and living Him out loud every single day. People who know the Word are people who know God. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the first thing you've got to settle in your mind is very simply that the Bible is God's Word. The second thing you've got to understand is the Bible is absolute truth. And the third thing you've got to know today is the Bible is God's guarantee to you. I want to ask the worship team if they join me today. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He didn't say the truth will make you free. He said the truth you know will make you free. Well, how many of you need to know the truth today? Every single person in this room. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall make you free." Well, if truth makes me free, what does a lie do? What does a lie do? It puts me in bondage. Truth sets free, but lie puts me in bondage. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free." I find God's truth in His Word, and God's Word is absolute truth, all of it. It's not relative truth. It's not situational truth. It's not there's a truth for me and a truth for you, and we're all part of this somewhere floating around in this cosmic goo and blah, 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 and all paths lead to one place. That's not true. You couldn't take any road and still get to victory today. Isn't that right? The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's critical that we understand that. And so we've got to come to a place where we believe what God's Word says, where we say, if the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Jesus bought it, and I can have it. Psalm 89, 34, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever." Numbers 23, 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do, or has he spoken and will he not make it good?" Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." God says what He means, and He means what He says. He's amplified and exalted His Word above His name. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Faith doesn't come from what you think. Faith doesn't come from what your neighbor says. Faith doesn't come from what you're feeling. Faith doesn't come from hugging trees and whispering in the woods. Faith doesn't come from sitting on a sofa with Oprah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People who don't know the Word are people who don't know God, but people who know the Word are people who know their God. And Daniel 11:32 said, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." In other words, they shall live big lives. They shall have big faith. They shall pray big prayers. They shall see God move in big ways. They will raise big kids and have big marriages and have big relationships and have big businesses and have big purpose in their life. They're going to have big joy and big peace and a big love for their world. They're going to have big vision and they're going to have a big praise because they know they serve a big God who loves them more than anything else. Come on, would you get on your feet and give Him praise? He deserves it today. Come on, lift up a praise to him. Take 10 seconds to glorify his name. Hallelujah. What you believe is determined by the voice you choose to listen to. What you believe is determined by the voice you choose to listen to. Some of you need to change the voice you're listening to. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Just two things I want to leave you with. Number one, increase the amount of God's word in your daily life. It's that simple. And number two, obey it. Increase it and obey it. Begin to live what you learn. I promise you, you're going to see a difference. I promise you, you will grow your faith. Actually, scratch that. God promises your faith will grow bigger than your feelings. Somebody say, my faith is bigger than my feelings. Say, I will not walk by sight. I will not walk by my feelings. I will walk by faith in the word of God. Would you give God praise for victory in your life today?